Well, we're finishing our series today on my New Year's resolutions. And we're talking about keeping our energy on serving God, keeping our energy on serving God. Now, an obvious place we can keep our energy on serving God is in the ministries we serve in or the people we reach, right? That's really obvious. But have you ever thought about how you keep your energy in serving God in your workplace, in your business, in your home? Today, the Apostle Paul wants to speak to us about how to focus our energy in serving God in all of these places, not just evangelism, not just the church. In particular, he talks to us today about the workplace, whether you're a boss, an employee, a volunteer, or maybe you're a stay-at-home mum or dad. Whatever it is, we all need encouragement in this area, don't we? Because to keep our energy in working diligently, let alone serving God in our places of work, can be challenging at times. You only need to hear the statistics about how often as Aussies we take sickies to know something needs to change in our attitude toward our work. Have a listen to a couple of these statistics and facts. Statistics to start the year with, my friend. Apparently, us Aussies take 90 million sick days every year, and $34.1 billion is being sucked out of the economy annually because of that. 90 million. There are some people not at work a lot. According to a survey by Queenstown, New Zealand's tourism body, 81% of Australians have faked a sick day just to get a bit of time off work. Whew. And why do we take sickies? Well, one expert says the rise of the sickie culture is down to a combination of factors, including a sense of entitlement among Aussie employees saying, well, I have the right to have a break because I've just had enough, or a lack of flexibility from employers, and of course, illness. So how do we rise above our sickie culture and work diligently, keeping our energy in serving God in the workplace, in our ministries, and in our homes? Well, to stay motivated and to be diligent, we must understand, first of all, we need to serve the right master. We need to serve the right master. And you would have gotten an outline when you came in as well. Now, there are all types of bosses and all types of work. Some of us have bosses, some of us don't, some of us are self-employed, others are housewives or stay-at-home parents who have a myriad of tasks that never seem to end. Whatever your work situation is, the overarching truth Paul is teaching us in our first three verses here today from Colossians is who you serve makes all the difference in how you work. Who you serve makes all the difference in how you work. Who you serve makes all the difference in whether you're energized and motivated or not. Paul powerfully teaches us this truth as he speaks to slaves about their work situation. And they couldn't resign from their job, slaves couldn't. So let's look at what he says to slaves and then therefore to us. He says this, "Slaves, obey your human masters in everything. Don't work only while being watched in order to please men, but work wholeheartedly, fearing the Lord." And then he goes on to say in the next verse, "Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart." In fact, the literal word is work at it with all your soul. So there's no greater way of saying work wholeheartedly. "Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters." Now, Paul starts out here by addressing Christian slaves' attitude toward their work and their master, telling them to obey their human masters in everything. Tell them to obey their human masters in everything. And to add to that, Paul says, don't work diligently only when your master is watching you. Work diligently when they're not watching. And that's a bit of an Aussie culture thing, isn't it? Sometimes too. We can work hard when the boss is around, but when the boss goes, we go out to play. Now, how are these slaves, or any employee for that matter, supposed to do that, to work for their boss doing everything they ask, especially if you have a bad master or boss who mistreats you, or quite simply your work is menial, laborious, and difficult? Well, Paul answers this question clearly by stating to all of us, in a very real sense, you're not working for your human masters, bosses, or leaders. You're working for the Lord, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Paul says this explicitly in what we just read, saying in our work, we're working for the Lord, not for human masters, not for men. We're not working to please men either. You know, sometimes we do that to look good. No, we work wholeheartedly to honor and obey the Lord. Everything we now do is part of our new work for the Lord, because it's the Lord we're serving, not men. And he's not talking about slaves who are great evangelists here. He's talking about slaves who did their job. Now, when we truly understand this, an astonishing thing happens when we understand this. We become motivated and energized to do everything our boss or our leader asks of us, as long as it's legal, of course, because we're not serving men anymore, but serving a far greater master, which is Jesus. And that changes everything, because we're now empowered and motivated to be a better worker, a better volunteer, and better people, because we want to honor and obey Jesus Christ in all the work we do. See how that's a complete transformation of your thinking? So you're not thinking, oh, my boss keeps asking me to do this, driving me mad. You think, as I serve my boss, I am serving my Lord, my King of Kings and my Lord of Lords. That changes things, doesn't it? So whilst our fellow non-Christian workers might obey their earthly bosses in everything for fear they'll lose their job or they might get ahead, we can now obey our earthly bosses in everything with a totally different attitude, because it is the Lord Christ we are serving. Now this makes us good employees, good volunteers, good workers, and ironically, by not focusing on our boss but on the Lord, if anything you're going to get a promotion is by being a Christian in this. Of course, in the end, it doesn't matter if we have a boss or not. You might be a housewife or a house dad and you think, I don't know who my boss is, maybe my kids sometimes. It doesn't matter if we have a boss or not. The point is, in our work, we are serving the Lord, not men. And we can do so wholeheartedly no matter how menial the task, because it's done for Christ and He is willing to receive it and reward it. And this is a wonderful truth we're going to move on to now. Our next point shows us and motivates us in this, that we'll be rewarded for our work. We'll be rewarded for our work. Now, Paul states this clearly to us when he says this: whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. Now, for the slave, what Paul just said was remarkable news, because whilst he was exploited here on earth by his earthly masters who wouldn't pay him a cent for his labor, Paul tells us that the exploited worker will receive proper reward and recompense from his heavenly master. And this is equally true for us. In our work, we may be underpaid, underappreciated, undervalued, perhaps even exploited to some degree by our boss, but God's word tells us plainly, as servants of Jesus, we will be rewarded in heaven. We will be rewarded. And that's forever, my friends. We might get a little extra pay package at the end of the year, maybe. Maybe you get that. That's nice, isn't it? But we will get everlasting pay packages that don't run out and will never wear out. See, because our Heavenly Master rewards everyone who faithfully serves Him. So in our work, in our ministries, in our volunteer roles, in our homes, it is the Lord Christ you are serving. Paul makes this clear. Now, this is good news for so many of us, whether you're undervalued as a housewife or an underpaid worker. But on the flip side, Paul also warns us that an employee or worker or missionary or minister who does not serve the Lord faithfully, who is unfaithful in their work and continues in poor work habits, will be poorly recompensed by their heavenly master, who is strictly fair and impartial. Paul says this: anyone, and this is the context of working, anyone who does wrong will be repaid for their wrongs, and there is no favoritism. So God doesn't have favorites. He's not one of those bosses that they have their favorite employee and they always seem to get ahead but others miss out. He doesn't have favorites. He says, you live and serve me faithfully as best you can, I'll reward you. But if you are unfaithful and lazy, then I will equally reprimand you for it. I'm not talking about our salvation here. Of course, we're saved by grace, but we are talking about reward or reprimand. Now, the question is, do you want to be rewarded or reprimanded by the Lord for your work? That's an obvious answer, right? I think both the promises of God's heavenly reward and his warning to be faithful servants can motivate us to serve him wholeheartedly in our work, in our ministries, and in our homes. As I was reading about this, there's a famous preacher called Dick Lucas from a generation ago, and he talked about the fact that when we have a healthy fear of the Lord, that motivates us to serve him, because if we fear him, we'll want to honor him and serve him. That actually it actually lessens other fears. So we're not afraid of our boss anymore. That's a lesser fear. Our greater fear is to serve the Lord. And so actually it sets us free, because I'm not controlled by my fear of my boss anymore. I'm like, well, in the end, that really is not that significantly important to me. What's important is that I fear and honor the Lord. Of course, when you fear and honor the Lord, then you honor your boss, because you fear the Lord. But do you see how the greater fear lessens the silly fears? It's amazing, isn't it? God's promise and warning should develop a healthy fear within us to serve the Lord wholeheartedly with all our heart. But what about bosses and leaders? If you're a boss or a leader out there, do you get off scot-free? No. Having warned slaves of God's justice for the unfaithful worker, Paul speaks the same truth to bosses and leaders, saying this: "Masters, provide your slaves with what is right and fair, because you know you also have a master in heaven." Now, this was a radical thought in Paul's day, that a master should treat his slaves rightly and fairly. I mean, they were just personal property. They could be exploited, and that's been throughout history. Today, even, there are slaves who are exploited. Now, sadly, even in Australia, there are some bosses who behave like this too, don't they? They use and abuse their employees. And perhaps some of us here, perhaps some of you sitting here feel, oh, sometimes I feel like my boss is like that. But for a slave master or a Christian boss or a leader today, our behavior must be radically different. Because just as Christ does what is right and fair and ethical and merciful toward us, we also must treat our employees and volunteers the same way. Not forgetting we are also accountable to God for how we work and treat others, that we will be either reprimanded or rewarding according to how we behaved. There is no boss above God. God is the mighty, mighty King. And God, he's the boss of everything. He's the mighty King. Now, with all this in mind, how do we keep our energy in serving God? Well, we serve and obey Christ, our master, not men. And that's highly motivational, because he's a good and perfect master and he rewards us. And we remember we will be either rewarded or reprimanded for how we behave in our workplace, in our ministries, and in our lives and homes. So today, let me encourage you, let these truths be deeply motivating you to serve Christ wholeheartedly. And God's word speaks to us all here, the volunteer, the worker, the mum or dad at home. If we serve the Lord faithfully, we will be rewarded. And there is reward in that, isn't there? When you are working faithfully, you actually feel better about yourself, don't you? There's a reward in itself there. Now, it's interesting, as I prepared this message, I was both encouraged and rebuked. Encouraged that when I'm faithfully serving the Lord and working hard, that's great. And times, like all of us, that I think I need to up my game. So God's word speaks to every one of us today. Let me leave you with this verse then. As we represent Christ to our work colleagues, our family, our friends, and the world, the scriptures say this to us: "And whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father."